Right now, it's our pleasure to welcome the superintendent of the Milwaukee Public School Superintendent, the superintendent of the Milwaukee Public School System, William Andrikopoulos. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here this morning. What a great setting.
Isn't it nice?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a fun time, too, and a good chance for us to meet a number of folks. Well, you know that we have, in the course of the last week, heard from really scores of people, adults, children, about barriers to achievement in MPS. Let me ask you that question. What are the barriers?
What are the barriers? Well, a couple things. I would say, first of all, we have to look at the district itself. I think that's the starting point. We have to look at ourselves. Our district was organized for about 20 years in a system where individual teachers, individual principals made individual decisions about children. It was called school-based management, site-based management, decentralization management. And that process resulted in great results, and that process resulted in not so good results. And it really was more of a random act of improvement. So I think that structural weakness on our part for the 20 years is having a negative impact on us, even today, as we worked hard over the past 8 years to be more strategically focused on the classroom, improve teacher quality. We still have some of the residual effects of that approach of really looking for heroes in the district and thinking that that would work. The second piece, we have to look at poverty. I don't think people realize the economic disparity that our children face in this community. When you look at one simple statistic of college graduation rate for adults, 18%, national average is 36%. That gap, I think, translates on what happens in our classrooms and our schools and all the unemployment rate. The third factor, I would think, that I've observed quite a bit in this community is expectations for black and brown kids. I think we have to raise the bar and the expectation for our children. So you put that all together, that means that we have to do much better for our children.
Let me go back to what you just mentioned to start things off, and that is what maybe could be described as a system of schools versus a school system. That is a decentralized system of schools with site-based management, local governance, et cetera. I remember those days, and a tremendous amount of energy went into that, including parental councils and parental involvement. Did all that energy go to waste?
It was a different time, a different era, different needs, and I think what the end result of all of that was a lack of consistency from classroom to classroom, from school to school. This occurred not only in Milwaukee, but this occurred actually internationally, Canada, Australia, Europe, England. This was sort of the wave in the 80s and 90s. And today the notion is, Bob, we have to improve the academic outcomes for all of our kids. And that model was still very random. It wasn't strategically focused. And what we know from all the research that's been done over the last 20 years, that teacher quality is the number one indicator of improving academic success. So teacher quality indicators has to have a more systematic approach to improving the performance of our youngsters.
You mentioned poverty and the role that it plays with the school population. We have touched on that several times throughout our stories this week. But I'm wondering, it would seem to me that solutions to that riddle would require a community-wide cooperation. Would you agree? And is there such a thing? Is there a community-wide awareness of what MPS faces? And if so, what's being done to help?
Well, I think there are community partners that are stepping forward, whether it's the business community, the philanthropic community, the universities. They all have supported us and worked with us over the past 8 years. The hard part for us as a school system is to look at whether or not we are primarily a K-12 institution or we a social agency. We've added more and more factors in for mental health, physical health of children. We have expanded school nursing services. That used to be something that was provided by the city through the city health department. We offer universal free breakfast in the morning. We know that the nutritional needs of our kids, we know the medical needs of our kids. So these are some residual effects that impact the classroom. I make the point about poverty, but still we can't use poverty as an excuse for children not learning. So we have to garnish all the resources we can in these tight economic times to focus those resources on the kids to provide the support and wraparound services for our youngsters so they succeed.
Let me ask you about the relationship that your administration has had with teachers and the necessity that it would seem a good relationship with teachers is one pathway to success. For instance, I'm guessing that it would be better to have a cooperative relationship versus an adversarial one, yet among the things that have happened during your time in office is comments about benefits that are paid to retiring teachers and things that wouldn't seem to get teachers on your side. What's your relationship with them?
Well, I think there's a mixed relationship. I think that we've had really good success of working with the teachers union relative to developing our strategic plan and focusing on teacher quality issues. The unions, they all want the best for our children at the end. However, we do have some disagreements on compensation. They fought hard for compensation rights. They fought hard for benefit rights. This is part of the collective bargaining process, and whenever someone fights for something and you say we have to take a look at it differently, there's always a time for discussion and dialogue. But the truth of the matter is our financial ability to sustain itself over a period of time cannot sustain itself in this economic times. Having to put next year $28 million more in health care costs, we're receiving $10 million less from the state in our ability to educate our kids. So you have to, at some point, make some concessions.
I will at this point mention that for the sake of full disclosure that my wife is a 35-year veteran of MPS who retired last year. On the subject of the state involvement in MPS, it is the state that is mandating a new system-wide reading curriculum, is that right?
Yes, we worked with the state. Actually, that was our idea initially as we worked with the corrective action plan to do a complete full-scale audit of it and have DPI support it. Yes, and it's overdue. You know, we've had 19 different reading series in our district. Again, this gets back to the notion of everyone doing their own thing, and we know that that's not moving our district forward enough. So we worked really hard over the past 2 years to create the sense of urgency to do something different. We think we've done that with the NAEP testing and the data that we put in the public. We think that we've gotten people to the point now where the district people will accept the notion that we're really going to focus and narrow their curriculum. We did that in math, and we've seen double-digit gains in mathematics. We've reduced the gap between us and the state and all the racial groups in mathematics with having a more strategic focus in mathematics. Now we're moving on to reading. We think we've changed the culture to embrace that. DPI, I think, is a good pressure support organization. I think our district, our employees, need this pressure support that can help us move and accelerate the reform that occurs in our organization.
William Andrikopoulos is our guest. He is the superintendent, as you know, of the Milwaukee Public School System. There has been a kind of unification with many curriculums in MPS, has there not? And I'm wondering, is that in the best interests of all children? What of those who do better with more of an individual style of learning?
Well, in our literacy plan, we talk about differentiated instruction, which you're absolutely correct, because we know we have multiple needs and multiple learners in our schools. We also have some extremely high-performing schools like our art-based schools, our language-based schools, and our Montessori schools. So they will have to still work on the comprehensive literacy framework, but the actual materials that they use might be different based on those pedagogies. So we really are focusing, and it's a great question, on the individual needs of children. But what's most important is we have that consistency in professional development, the consistency in instruction from classroom to classroom and school to school.
One last question. The end is coming quickly for you. let me rephrase that. Your tenure as superintendent of MPS is coming to a close. Do you have mixed feelings?
Well, I think that I'm really glad and pleased that Dr. Thornton's not going to be the next superintendent. I've had a good working relationship now in the 2 months that we're working on, and I feel that I'm passing the baton and there'll be a continuation of the work. So there's a sense of relief on my part to know what it's going to look like beyond July 1st for MPS. I'm also working on what it's going to look like for Bill Andrikopoulos beyond July 1st, and I'm feeling good about that, too.
Thank you so much for coming in to join us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Superintendent William Andrikopoulos joining us here on Milwaukee Public Radio as our Project Milwaukee coverage, Barriers to Achievement in MPS, continues and will continue in the 10 o'clock hour this morning with a live broadcast of the Lake Effect Show hosted by Mitch Tyke.
This portion of WUWM programming is made possible by the Harry Frankie Idea Fund of the Greater Milwaukee Foundation in support of the Piano Arts North American Competition and Music Festival, June 3rd through the 9th. 12 acclaimed young pianists compete for over $20,000 in prizes and other awards on June 5th and 7th at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music and on June 9th with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra at the Wilson Center in Brookfield. Information is at 414-962-3055.
We're coming up on 9 o'clock. You're listening to 89.7 WUWM HD, Milwaukee Public Radio, broadcasting from Chase Tower at Water in Wisconsin. In fact, broadcasting from the ground floor of Chase Tower this morning. Unlike our usual seventh floor location, that's still there, but we're set up temporarily down here today. And still time to stop by and say hello and have a cup of coffee. You can watch the live broadcast of Lake Effect that's just ahead. We have just a little bit of time to visit with Mike Westendorf of Innovative Weather. You hear him every afternoon on WUWM and many of the meteorologists at UWM in the morning hours. You're a training ground for meteorologists, Mike. Is that correct?
That's what we're doing. That's what the Innovative Weather program is really about, is helping these young students kind of coming through the atmospheric sciences program, getting them ready for their careers, and really giving them an opportunity to not only be a meteorologist, but I think a leader in the field of meteorology.
Interest still high, is it?
Oh, very high, yes. It is very much so. Just like, you know, the sun, high, temperatures high, 74 degrees, it's all looking good.
That's right. This is a beauty today. Might change a little bit tomorrow, I understand.
Showers and thunderstorms move back in. We do have a risk of some stronger storms tomorrow afternoon, something we'll have to keep you guys posted on.
Well, very good. Always a pleasure to see you, Mike. Thanks for coming
down. Great to be here, Bob.